Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get headlines because we don't have a ton of time with Cugno, and we got to do all our stuff. What do you think about Robert Saleh being fired by the Jets? This is what I said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Couldn't you possibly see that as a harbinger of things to come for the Dolphins, where Woody Johnson looks at that team, goes, I did everything I need to do. I put together a roster. I got a good quarterback. Defense is fine, and it's not working. I'm saying you got to wait till Tua comes back. I'm not talking about with a backup. A few more weeks. Solana's point yesterday was he doesn't think the Dolphins are any better when Tua comes back. I disagree.
Well, No. Hold on. To be fair, not that they're not any better from the version we're seeing. I still don't think, Cugno, even with a healthy Tua, that this roster was constructed to go beat the elite teams in the AFC.
Well, you said they're a bad football team.
They're definitely hockey team.
Yeah. They're a bad football team even when Tua comes back.
No, not that they're bad, that they're just not an elite team. That we saw them with Tua for a full healthy game, and then we saw it for two quarters and change, Cugno, against Buffalo, the team that they have to be able to beat. And to me, it didn't look any better than it did last year. They were 1-6 against playoff teams, even with a healthy Tua, healthy Teron, a healthy team. I just don't think this roster stacks up against the elite teams.
Let me say a couple things. I've seen the Dolphins team with Tua beat Josh Allen and the Bills before, and then get blown out in the next game. Like, they go back and forth with those. But to your point about the Jets, I don't ever want to follow the Jets in anything they do. So is it a harbinger?
But
I will never follow the Jets lead.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying I don't think that Stephen Ross and Woody Johnson are that dissimilar at their points in their careers. Woody Johnson, he's tired of being a laughing stock, right? And he went out and got Aaron Rodgers.
But this is what makes the Jets that laughing stock.
But the Dolphins are a bigger laughing stock right now. They're a bigger laughing stock. They haven't won a playoff game in 24 years.
It looks like you have your quarterback running the show in New York, and that's
but he obviously is. He obviously is.
But you can't operate like that.
But LeBron operates that way wherever he goes.
And what happened? And he left Cleveland after he got all his friends paid, right? I mean,
You have a small window with Aaron Rodgers. He's getting old. Like, you have a small window, so let him do it.
Yeah, but
bring in who he wants.
But to me, it seems like a panic move. I mean, what are you going to get out of a interim head coach that you wouldn't have gotten out of the guy who brought that guy in? So it was the least surprising move I think I've ever seen with the Jets, because I think this is just right up their alley.
And Mike, but to that point, but even what you're saying, Robert Saleh was 20-36. Mm-hmm. Right now, Mike McDaniel's 22-17. So the success is there. It's just the postseason. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. It's kind of Solana's point, is what he always says. We'll get to the postseason, but we'll get our ass kicked. But is there any chance, like Hawk's saying, Mike, the harbinger of – because it made me think about it. When they fired Saleh, I'm like, if Tua comes back and this team – is still under 500, would that even come up in anybody's mind that McDaniel might not be the right guy?
I'm not sure this is the year to necessarily say that, although, the offense has certainly had its issues. I mean, the fact that a couple games ago they couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage, obviously there was a lot of, undisciplined football being played, and we've seen that a couple of times. But when you lose your quarterback and you go through the injuries that this team is still going through, I'm still not ready to hit that button. I mean, they just gave the guy an extension. Are you just gonna?
I'm not ready to. I'm not ready
because I've seen what it looks like when it's working with McDaniel and Tua. So I've seen both sides of it, and I kind of want to see the side continue to see the side that kept getting the Dolphins to the playoffs, which is what was working the last 2 years, and where just injuries derail them. And Solana, you know, maybe to your point, is depth maybe their biggest issue in terms of being one of these elite teams where they can have the next wave of guys come up? To me, that's where I would look at this. Is like, you've got the star power. You've got that frontline talent. Make sure you're going out and building the team behind them as well, so when there is a guy who goes out, the drop-off isn't that far.
Because what does happen if Solana's right? Mm-hmm. Let's say they're a mediocre. Is mediocre fine, Solana? Like, you know, if they end up, what, 9-8? Like,
yeah. I mean, to me, that's worst-case scenario. You built
right.
a team so, that's good enough to beat bad teams, but not good enough to beat good teams. That's the worst place to be in.
So they're 9-8 mm-hmm. at the end of the season. Maybe they're a wild card team. Maybe they're not. But what do you do if you're Stephen Ross? Now you're going to go into year four. And again, I'm not a proponent of this.
I'm a huge fan
of Tua, and I'm a huge fan of Mike McDaniel. But you could understand where Stephen Ross, like Woody Johnson, just getting impatient and saying, wait a second, I gave you the quarterback, and it's Chris Greer, too, that really needs to be part of the conversation. But I gave you the big contract for the quarterback. We got the best wide receiver in football. We've done everything that you wanted to do. You wanted contract extensions for Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey. And, like, you know, we did everything. Where is my ring?
I get it. But 9-8 with the caveat and – It's part of it that your quarterback was out for 4 or 5 weeks. That's part of it. Two more wins, and all of a sudden you're 11-6, and you feel a lot better about that. You possibly win a division at 11-6 the way this division's going right now. I think you have to look at it with all the information and all the context you can before you start making snap judgments and then all of a sudden just kicking people out of South Florida.
All right, Mike Cugno is with us here. I didn't know if Crowder had another question there.
I was looking down because I was doing research on the wins and losses. But I was going to say, is this quarterback situation, what happens when Tua comes back, Mike? Is it Tyler Huntley backing him up? They have Tim Boyle on practice squad. It's now Skylar Thompson. Does he have a chest injury? Like, how does this work out? Hopefully, Tua, because we still got to play Indy. We have a bye. We got to play Indy. Zone the game. How do you see this working out at quarterback?
Well, to me, Tyler Huntley, I mean, just from his first game to the second game, wasn't great, but you saw
it was noticeable.
Noticeable improvement, right? Yeah. You saw things he could do, keep plays alive, all of that stuff. I like the idea of him being the backup while Skylar is, getting healthy. If Tua does come back, I think I feel better about the backup situation if Tua were to get hurt again. And again, this is
Tyler, not Skylar.
Yeah.
Tyler,
Huntley.
Not.
I'd go Tyler 2, Skylar
right.
3. Yeah.
But
that's the way I would go.
But that's a big knock on Chris Greer and if it was Mike McDaniel, their decision making in the backup situation. If the guy who is in his, you know, third season that you've coached, and you know what he can do and what your offense is, and you chose him over others.
Right.
Like, if you found out in one game that he wasn't the guy, and a guy who you just signed, you know, 3 weeks into the season is a better option, that's a big knock on your personnel decisions.
Big knock, dare I say, maybe a good move. I mean, that you were able to go out and identify the right guy to now come in and be the backup. They should have addressed it. It needed to be addressed in the offseason. And you guys kept bringing up, I know you guys asked me a ton about Ryan Tannehill, and I still don't.
I wanted Josh Dobbs, Pastrnak. I still do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what he did with the Vikings, I mean.
Game changer.
Yeah.
I watched him in preseason. I bet against them. And
how many?
It was terrible.
How many bets did you win because of him or lose because of him?
I lost.
That alters your decision.
I lost a preseason bet because of him. That, by the way, was a harbinger of things to come during the regular season for my gambling.
I was going to say.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.